On today's episode of Wake Up With Hope, be blessed as we share another delicious healthy recipe from Gia and her team, have health news from Dr. Narada McKibben,
and our friends from the Voice of Prophecy share a devotional thought. Stay with us. Good morning. It's Monday. Thank you for joining us here at Wake Up With Hope.
We pray you had a restful weekend, friends, and are ready for the new week. We're excited to be here with you this morning, and we can't wait to see how God will lead us and bless us in this new week.
You know, today is International Micro-Volunteering Day.
What is micro-volunteering? That's my question.
That's a good question. Micro-volunteering is a concept that allows people to volunteer quickly and conveniently. You know, it's a way for people to make an impact in small increments. You know, by giving a few minutes here and there, or even an hour at a time.
That's very interesting. If you're not involved in micro-volunteering, we encourage you to find a worthy cause to dedicate bits of time to micro-volunteering.
That's right. You know, what a powerful concept for our spiritual lives as well. As you find a few minutes in your day here and there, spend quiet time in prayer or read a few short verses from the Bible. And before you know it, your relationship with God will be revitalized. You know, small efforts can truly make a big impact over time. So this morning, let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1912, the British ocean liner Titanic plunged into the North Atlantic Ocean, approximately 400 miles south of Newfoundland, Canada. The colossal vessel, carrying 2,200 passengers and crew, had collided with an iceberg 2.5 hours earlier. The Titanic was one of the largest and most luxurious ocean liners ever built, and was considered to be unsinkable due to the design of its compartments. The Titanic. Who hasn't heard about this massive catastrophe? Maybe you haven't considered yourself unsinkable, but have you ever considered yourself invincible? Maybe you've never outright said that, but you tend to push the limits and the boundaries of safety, such as speeding through a yellow light or driving faster than the speed limit. As humans, we have a tendency to push the limit. It's in our nature to want to push our boundaries. The reality is that many accidents, disasters, and tragedies are caused by our natural tendency to want to get away with as much as we can.
The reality is that many accidents, disasters, and tragedies are caused by our natural tendency to want to get away with as much as we can. You know, in a Christian walk, we may suffer with the same malady. We may decide we actually don't want to know what God says about something because then we have a responsibility to do it. However, we want to challenge you, friends, today to put your heart and soul into your walk with Jesus. Delve deep into His Word and hold nothing back. Give Him your all. Surrender your all. You know, we'll admit it can be scary to let go of our reins and surrender all to Him and surrender to His will. But we will also admit that you will never regret it. God knows the end from the beginning, and He wants to transform you and us into something beautiful, something amazing. But we can't until we let go of our own desires and let Him carry out His own plan and will for our life. So friends, won't you let Him do that today? Let Him be the Lord of your life.
Amen. Friend, are you looking for a healthy granola bar alternative? Gia and Olive have you covered this morning as they share a recipe for healthy granola bars that everyone in your family is sure to enjoy.
Hi everyone, and today we're making granola bars.
We are, and what's in them?
Porridge.
Porridge! Oats, right?
Oats.
So can you put the oats in this bowl for me? All of them? It's 1.5 cups. Of oats. So this is the dry bowl. We'll make the paste in a minute. And what are these?
Almonds.
That's right. And they're crushed, aren't they? So chopped up almonds. So that's 1/3 of a cup of chopped up almonds. And what are the dry ingredients we've got? What are these ones?
Sesame seeds.
Oh, very close. The pepita seeds. Pepita. So 1/3 of a cup of pumpkin seeds, right?
Can we try them?
Oh, yes. They're not raisins. They're cranberries, but they do look like raisins. Can you pour those in? Take one and put it in there. I'll make the paste while she's doing that. So the paste for this, to help it stick together and glue together without, you know, having to cook it so that it's nice and raw, we're using dates and honey. So I use 1 cup of medjool dates. Remember, the medjool dates are the really soft dates that are absolutely delicious. The kids love them. They froth the mouth for them. And 1/4 cup of honey. And I just put it in the food processor and I actually just process until it becomes pasty. Okay, let's start processing. A little paste. Okay, so it almost looks like peanut butter or some type of butter. So this is what it actually looks like. That is the key ingredient to make a granola bar. So what have you done there? Tell us.
I mixed it through and through until
it was all combined really well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I smushed it a tiny bit.
Okay. So let's put the paste in. Oh, these are going to be delicious. It's not going to cut it using a wooden spoon or any spoon at all, any spatula. You're going to have to use your hands, okay? It's really sticky. So what I've done here is I've lined just a small Pyrex. I've put some lining over the side, the baking paper all the way over the side, just so that I've got like handles when I'm finished from the fridge and just want to pull it out, make it easier. Okay, I just wet my hands a touch just to help it from sticking to me. Make sure it's all evened out. Look, they're rustic, so you don't have to have it perfectly cut. Okay, done. And we'll put this in the fridge or the freezer for maybe an hour, half an hour, and we'll be back to show you what it looks like, and we'll cut it all up, and we are gonna try it and tell you. Oh, even just the taste of it on my fingers is good.
Hi.
Tell them your name.
I'm Alderson. We're making a rice
granola bar. We're cutting the
granola bar. We're cutting a granola bar.
So that we can eat. I didn't understand much of that, but yes. He's saying we're going to cut the granola bar so we can eat. This is Moses, Olive's little brother. And we love him. He's sitting in for her. He's helping me for the first time and he's so excited, aren't you? So our granola bar is finished. You want me to cut it?
Uh-huh.
So let's just cut it. You can make it into a muesli bar size for the kids at school or for work, or you can cut it in half so that way you've just got it as a treat for like your 3:30-itis. Well, do you want to try some? Yes? Okay, there you go. Oh, look at that. Look at this. Okay, I've got to show you this. See that? That's got cranberries in it. The mixture together is like, the cranberry has like a sourness to it. So the sourness with the sweet, with the nuts. This is a winner, this one. You've got to try this recipe. The kids will love it at school and they're getting all their goodness. Cheers. Hope you enjoy it. Try it and let us know what you think. Mmm, that's a good one, isn't it?
It's now time for health news with Dr. Nerida McKibben from Go Healthy for Good.
In the headlines today, dementia prevention should start early in life. Increased sleep, decreased appetite, and emergency departments go to the dogs. The Journal of the American Medical Association Psychiatry published an analysis of the correlation between mental health disorders in young to middle-aged adults and dementia in later life. The study examined the health of 1.7 million New Zealanders over a 30-year period and found that those with a psychiatric condition were more than 4 times more likely to develop dementia in later life and to develop it 5 years earlier than the general population. This elevated risk applied to both men and women for different types of dementia and for a wide range of psychiatric disorders and self-harm behaviours. Researchers suggest that effective prevention and treatment of mental health disorders in early life may reduce the risk of cognitive decline later in life and extend the quality of life in old age. And who wouldn't want all of that? So please seek help early if you know you need it. One answer to obesity may be as simple as getting enough sleep, according to recent research. A group of 80 people were studied who slept on average 6.5 hours per night, which is less than the recommended 7 to 9 hours. Half the group received counselling to help them increase their sleep to 8.5 hours a night. The others received no intervention, and all study participants were free to continue their usual diet and exercise habits. The group that received counselling increased their sleep by an average of 1.2 hours per night. The most interesting finding was the more sleep they got, the fewer calories they consumed. So if you're overweight and habitually go short on sleep, here's another key to obesity prevention and weight loss. Therapy dogs can help relieve pain in the emergency room, according to a new study published by the Public Library of Science. Anxiety has been linked to increased discomfort and pain in the acute setting, as it heightens our senses and perceptions and makes us prone to feeling higher levels of pain. Therapy dogs and handlers often visit patients in public health settings, including the emergency room, and these visits have been shown to significantly reduce feelings of stress, anxiety, depression, and loneliness, and give an increased sense of well-being, thereby relieving pain. So consider a dog before drugs to ease your discomfort. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
Music is a gift from God that touches the deepest recesses of our hearts, stirring emotions, inspiring faith, and drawing us closer to Him. This morning, Lifelong Worship joins us as they sing, "A Mighty Fortress."
A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not easy. Oh.
Are you enjoying today's program? We'll inspire someone else and share us with a friend. Or you can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content.
Also, don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with today's devotional thought in just a few moments. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We pray you're ready for today's devotional thought because our friends from Voice of Prophecy are here now to share it with us.
The crowning piece or pinnacle of creation on planet Earth was the making of man. Everything else God spoke into existence, but man was lovingly formed and shaped by the hand of God Himself. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." But that's not the only distinct characteristic of man. Genesis 1:26 and 27 reveals that God created man in his own image and likeness, gave him dominion over the earth and everything in it, and also gave him the unique ability to procreate. What's interesting about the fall, recorded in Genesis 3, is that the serpent told Eve that if she ate of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she would be like God. Well, in some very tangible and unique ways, she was already like God, in appearance and character, in that the pair were created in his likeness and image, and that they were perfect, they were blessed with attributes of God, and that they were given dominion, they possessed authoritative presence as well. God had a special purpose for this earth and bestowed on its inhabitants gifts that, if used righteously, would have been a blessing throughout the whole universe. In order to prepare them for their task, he spent time with them. While we don't know how much time elapsed between the creation and the fall, sin likely did not creep in on day 8. The fall was likely a long time in the making, and throughout that entire time, I imagine angels visited with the pair daily, and God Himself walked with them regularly. In fact, Genesis 2, 1-3 reveals that when the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This once-a-week day of rest he called the Sabbath. Check out Exodus 28-11. "And the Sabbath was created for man." But created for man to do what? Well, Acts 13:44 implies to hear the Word of God. Now, in today's day and age, the Bible is the Word of God. But imagine you were in the Garden of Eden before the fall. How would the Word of God be heard there? If you guessed in person, you are absolutely correct. So before the fall, Adam and Eve would hear the literal words of God coming from God's own mouth. And when was the primary time they would enjoy this thrill? You guessed right again, on the rest day that would happen once per week. So in a nutshell, at least once per week, we can deduce that the pair saw and talked to God face to face. What a beautiful image that is. Now think of Genesis 3 and how God was looking for Adam. Verse 8 says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Notice that they heard the sound of the Lord. That implies that they knew the sound of the Lord. It doesn't say that they heard someone and thought it could or might be the Lord. Adam and Eve knew immediately. They recognized the sound of the Lord because he was familiar to them. Now, there are two reasons that God was familiar to them. One, we've already mentioned. At least once per week, they walked and talked together. The other we find explained in Genesis 2. After God created all the creatures of the earth, he then created Adam, but not Eve. He spent time with Adam alone, calling all the animals that had just been created whatever name that Adam wished to call them. At some point, Adam was struck with the realization that there was not found a helper comparable to him. Every other animal had a companion, but Adam did not. Once this epiphany grabbed his attention, God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam so that he could perform the first recorded surgery. God gently opened Adam's side and removed a rib. From this rib, he formed woman, or Eve. And here's the kicker. According to verse 22, he brought her to the man. So what's the big deal, you might ask? Notice that Adam didn't simply wake up, find her at his side, and then wake her up and introduce himself. God made woman away from Adam. And while Adam slept, God spent time with her, then he brought her to Adam. So in Genesis 2, we have evidence that God spent one-on-one time with both Adam and Eve separately. The reason the pair knew the voice of God calling them in the cool of the day was not only because they spent time with God at least one day per week, but also because they spent personal one-on-one time with God as well. And now that you have that picture in mind, let's go to the great tragedy of Genesis 3. Picking back up with God looking for them beginning at verse 8, we read, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself.'" Afraid? They were afraid? Of what? Or who? Of God? Oh, what a heartbreak that must have been. Up to this point, the garden had been filled with joy, laughter, trust, friendship, and family. Now the pair was afraid of their Creator, the one that gently and lovingly brought them into existence and who provided for their every need. Have you ever thought of the pain that Adam's statement must have brought to the heart of God? No longer could they walk together face to face. No longer could they stand in His presence and hear His loving voice. And as we read at the end of chapter 3, no longer could they walk the trails of the Garden of Eden. Sin had permanently separated them from their God. Now, while they were still in the image of God, the taint of sin was already on their countenances, and no longer were they the same in character. Their character was now bent towards evil. What a sad ordeal. They sacrificed the image of God, their inheritance, and the happiness of family for a bite of the forbidden. And now, instead of gaining what they aspired to be like God, they lost those things that made them like God in the first place. The image was corrupted. Eternal life was sacrificed. Their characters were evil. And now they closer resembled their new master, Satan, than their creator, God. But the beautiful thing is that God didn't walk away. I'm touched by the fact that the Lord came looking for them in the cool of the day. God had already laid out that the consequences of sin was death. He had full right to strike them down immediately. But instead, just as He had done many times prior, He came looking for and calling them. And that is the greatest of all realities. God is a pursuing God. He reaches to the deepest corners of our lives to introduce Himself and invite us to join His family again. This morning, God is giving you the invitation to make things right. He understands your plight. He sees your sorrow. He feels your pain. And He promises to make you into His image once again. Will you give Him that chance? Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Father, for creating us. I want to thank you for compassionately forming us and making us. Out of the clay, you stooped down and molded us into these beautiful images of you. You didn't have to do that, Lord. But you wanted to make us into your image, your likeness. And we are sorry. Father, we are sorry that we turn our backs on you every single day. But thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for staying there, for pursuing us, for looking for us in the cool of the day. Help us to give our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. We at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. Whatever this new week has in store for you, you can have hope in the midst of it. Invite God to go with you every step of the way. God bless.
Thank you so much for those encouraging words.
And friends, thank you so much as well for watching Wake Up With Hope today. Please join us tomorrow as Jesus 101 will be with us to share morning devotional. We're going to have a dedicated prayer session and more.
Mm-hmm. And if you've enjoyed today's messages and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Our free Bible studies are sure to be life-changing. Again, friends, that's hope.study.
Before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise is found in Psalm chapter 27, verse 13.
I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living.
You know, friend, have you ever felt like giving up? Losing heart as you face trials and difficult circumstances and you see the state of the world around us, well, there's no need to. Stay strong. There is a land of the living for those who believe. We will see the Lord. There is hope, friends, so be encouraged today.
Amen. It's a promise.
Yes.
And we pray that you enjoyed your time with us today. We wish you a very happy Monday.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, yes, we want to live today as if we were in the land of the living. Lord, we want to live for you. We want to radiate with your presence in our hearts. So thank you for all the good content that we receive today. It fills our hearts with hope, and we're so grateful. Guide our steps today, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.